hanging out with my friends. They were the only friends I had because, of course, we couldn't go near anybody who wasn't a leper. We heard that Jesus was coming. We heard a lot about him. Other people had been saying that he was somebody who could do wonders, who could heal people that everybody else had given up on. So we decided to give it a try. When he got into town, we kept back at a distance because we knew if we got close, people would start throwing stones at us. And we just called as loudly as we could, "Jesus, Son of the Living God, have mercy on us." And wonder of wonders, he heard us. He heard us. And he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Well, you can imagine the debate we had at that point. Like, show ourselves to the priests? Well, what are they going to do? Look at us and say, "Yep, still got leprosy. Go away." But what did we have to lose? So we headed toward the priests. And amazingly, our skin changed. And we saw that we were clean. Well, my nine other friends were so excited that all they wanted to do was to go back to their families and show them the miracle. You know, and who can blame them? But I wanted to go back and talk with Jesus. I was just amazed at what had happened. And I thought, I gotta go say thank you. And so I turned around and headed back. And the first amazing thing was that I could walk right up to him. I didn't have to stay at a distance. And so I fell on my knees and I said, "Thank you. Thank you." And he looked at me and I heard such sadness in his voice as he said, "Weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Were you the only one who thought to come back and praise God? Couldn't any of the rest of them see beyond the gift to the giver?" And then he said to me, and I felt his love as he said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you whole." You know, in this story, 10 lepers are cleansed of leprosy, but only one is, and it says, "Your faith has saved you," or "Your faith has made you well." I'm trying to look at, remember how NRSV translates it. "Your faith has made you well." In the Greek, the word there is actually "saved," and it's a comprehensive word that just doesn't just mean your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. It is, instead, you have been set in right relationship with your own body, with your mind, with others, and with God. It is, you have been made whole, in right relationship with all things. And so when Jesus says your faith has made you whole, your faith has saved you, your faith has made you well, he's not just saying your leprosy is gone. That had already happened, and it happened to the others too. He's not even saying your social isolation has been canceled because now you can go back and be part of the community. He's saying you have been made whole. You've been put in right relation with God, yourself, and the world. And only the one who comes back and says thank you gets that. You know, it's fun watching little children as they get gifts. And when they're very small, they tend to be just focused on the gift itself. "This is cool. Oh, this is so cool." And they play with it, and they may or may not notice who gave it to them. As we get older, we start to recognize the intention behind the gifts. And you know, I can remember some of the gifts that have been given to me over time not because the gift in itself was so special, but because of what it meant to me, because of the relationship I had with the giver. And I recognized that this gift, it wasn't about the gift itself, it was a way of saying, I love you. I love you. You're dear to me, you're special to me. These are the kinds of gifts that God gives us all the time. Gifts of love that say to us, you are dear to me, I love you. God is the great reality of our lives, but much of the time, we live without seeing, I think without noticing what God is doing all around us. And what this story invites us to do is to learn to see and live in response to the reality of that divine generosity. The grace that surrounds us, enfolds us, sustains us, the grace we live in. You know, the passage just after this story, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. It's already here. And that's saving faith. This is the faith that makes us whole. The kind of recognition and gratitude toward God's presence all around. That leads us to deep and lasting joy. And so for us too, wholeness, salvation, doesn't just lie in recognizing that we've been forgiven or that we've been healed. It's so much more. It's in the ongoing encounter with the healer that we find wholeness. And so God becomes not just another commodity to be used or ignored at our whim. But God becomes the one with whom we are in daily relationship. And that relationship opens us up to a deep and ongoing wholeness. Annie Dillard, whom I find myself coming back to again and again, I love her writing, says in Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, she talks about when she was as a child that she used to hide pennies, and then she would draw huge chalk arrows saying, surprise ahead, or money this way, because she didn't want them to stay hidden. She wanted people to find them. And she says, I was greatly excited during all the arrow drawing at the thought of the first lucky passerby who would receive in this way, regardless of merit, a free gift from the universe. And she goes on, it's still the first week of in January, and I've got great plans. I've been thinking about seeing. There are lots of things to see, unwrapped gifts and free surprises. The world is fairly studded and strewn with pennies cast broadside from a generous hand. But, and this is the point, who gets excited by a mere penny? If you follow one arrow, if you crouch motionless on a bank to watch a tremulous ripple thrill on the water and are rewarded by the sight of a muskrat kit paddling from its den, will you count that sight a chip of copper only and go your rueful way? It is dire poverty indeed when a man is so malnourished and fatigued that he won't stoop to pick up a penny. But if you cultivate a healthy poverty and simplicity so that finding a penny will literally make your day, then since the world is in fact planted in pennies, you have with your poverty bought a lifetime days. It is that simple. What you see is what you get. The world is in fact strewn with pennies, with generous gifts scattered by a loving hand. But how often do we simply fail to see? Or we follow that arrow and go, just a penny. How often, like the other nine lepers, do we overlook not just pennies, but $100 bills? You know, and I don't hear Jesus' words. words as a scolding to the other nine. I hear them as sadness that the other nine are missing out. The Greek word used when the leper returns and falls at Jesus' feet is eucharisteo, I give thanks. And yes, if you hear the similarity, that is what the word Eucharist means. I give thanks. I invite you, as we pray the Eucharistic prayer today, to listen to what we are giving thanks for. Because, you know, in the prayer book is called the Great Thanksgiving. It's inviting us to pay attention, to see the pennies everywhere. We give thanks for creation, for God's work in the long story of Israel's history that comes to our own day and extends beyond us into the future. For God's work in Christ, for God's work in making us whole. We're called every day to live Eucharistically, eyes wide open to the pennies strewn about the world by a generous and loving hand, looking beyond the pennies to find the one who scattered them, and to fall in thanks at the giver's feet, not out of some sense of application, out of joy, out of recognition. This is the one who loves us. Why wouldn't we want to be there saying, thank you, and I love you back? Those who see find the kingdom already in their midst, the divine presence here among us, not just up in some remote heaven far away, but here every day.